You're listening to Asking for a Friend with Westminster Chapel, a podcast where we invite honest conversations around culture, church, faith, and life. Now here are our hosts, Ryan Falls and Matt Conrad.
Well, it's episode 7 of Asking for a Friend. You know, 7 is the perfect number. So this is going to be our best episode we've ever done.
No pressure
at all. And we love the questions we've been getting, and this is an awesome one. We actually got a couple questions around this topic in particular, and the one we chose was, why does the church put such an emphasis on marriage over singleness? Which is a really interesting question, a really good question. And I just want to start the episode. We have lots of things we want to talk about in just a few minutes, but I want to start the episode and own the fact, I think we do this. I think we put an emphasis on married life over being single, and it can create something that's not really healthy or helpful for those who are married and those who are single. And so we're going to jump into this issue, and just to say, as we jump into it, if you're listening, and this is certainly true for us, right? We all have a different story related to this question, right?
Yes.
Matt, what's your story?
What's my story?
Come on, Matt.
All right. Well, I can just say on this one, you know, I've been married for almost 20 years, happily married, my wife, Deanne. But I was 29 when I got married. So I had a number of years that I was single and through most of my 20s and kind of wrestled with what that meant for me and what that meant for even my role or my place in the church. So I've got, I think, a little bit of perspective on both sides of it.
How did you do with blind dates? Did you like those?
I hated blind dates. You know, you work at a church, you've got a lot of nice people who think they know exactly what you need or want or are looking for. Maybe a granddaughter or a niece or a teacher from, you know, your kid's school, you know, a neighbor, lots of people. Funny story, I'll do this one real quick, but there was one of our elders here who wanted to set me up on a blind date, and I just didn't feel great about whether or not he'd be the right guy to listen to. Turns out the person he wanted to set me up with was Deanne. My wife. So he showed up to our wedding and let me know that it could have happened a few years sooner.
That's right.
If I had listened to him.
Did you put him off for a while?
I put him off forever. Deanne and I met a different way without his help.
He made
sure to let me know that he could have helped me out a little bit sooner if I'd have just listened to him. So that's maybe funny. I'm wrong about blind dates. I don't know.
That's funny. Kaylee, what about you?
Well, I'm single. Not really ready to mingle. Oh, that was lame. But, no, I'm single. I enjoy it. I feel like when you're someone that's like 24, your options are like dating apps, especially right now in COVID. So I'm just happy to be single.
Happy
Tom
to not.
Hiddleston's kind of like a goal. Drake, open to that. But I have a lot of...
My gosh. How do we have to talk about Drake every episode of this podcast?
I need him to reach out.
Oh, my goodness.
What about you?
Well, I've been married for... 17 years. I had to do the math in my head. We just figured out that we've known each other for over half of our lives, or it's been over 20 years, so over half of Liz's life. I was a little bit older, so not quite half of mine. No, half of mine. Okay, I'm doing math in person. I'm good at math.
No more math on the podcast.
No more math on the podcast.
Please, no math questions for your friends.
Yeah, over half of our lives we've been together, and that was kind of cool and kind of fun. And yeah, we were babies. We were babies when we got married. We did not.
Which is kind of a stigma around, right? Ring by spring.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to a Christian school, and they said that, you know, the girls were getting their MRS. They were looking for a husband. So, but that wasn't true for us. But Liz did get her ring in the spring. Yeah. That did happen. It was on a Friday in 2002.
Nice.
When I was 6.
And I was a little older than 6.
And Kayla was 6, yeah. And then we have a lot of inputs related to this question. So as we think about singleness and marriage, we have to admit that the way that we think about these issues are often culturally conditioned, both, you know, outside of the church and inside of the church. And so you just think about the shows that we watch. Do you have any confessions to make, Matt? I think you do.
Some confessions. Confession. I didn't know that it was a confession.
No,
I,
you know, it's just joking.
You know, there was certainly a season in my life, not so much in the last couple of years, but I was a dedicated fan of Bachelor Nation. You know, I did. I was in every episode. I had my favorites. I thought I knew, you know, what the right couples were, which one could last, you know, the lifetime. Who was just being silly. And I love the drama. Love the fighting. Love the crazy. Like, the crazier the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Because, you know, why?
Because it made me feel better about my life. I could always watch these situations and say, wow, whatever problems I'm facing, at least I'm not, you know, Sally from Waco or whatever it was. Or
why did you have to use my mother's name?
I am sorry. Sorry, Ryan's mom.
But really? Literally, it's like a show. If you don't know, it's a show where there's literally one person and then like 12 people trying to date the one person and end up engaged.
It's very
healthy.
There's
90 Day Fiancé. There's Married at First Sight, which... that just would be a bummer if you weren't happy about it. There's so many. Like, there's literally shows built around dating.
Yeah, shows built around dating. And basically, they make you feel like if you're not in a relationship, then there's something wrong with you, right? We grow up watching romantic comedies. Like, Mim and I have started this thing over the last year or so where we watch rom-coms. And she talks about rom-coms. Which one are we going to watch? And we do it together. It's really kind of fun. But it also, it's shaping the way that you think about it. And then, you know, even... TV shows. The show Friends is still one of the most popular shows that people watch, and it has a very clear perspective about what relationships are for and how they're formed. And like those things, we see them enough, we watch them enough, we interact with them, they shape us. And then in church, like, you grow up with all of these different approaches to it, and so you could grow up believing, okay, it's way better to be married, it's not okay to be single. If I end up being single, maybe there's, you know, it's like, because that's what we talk about and that's what we prepare people for. And I think certainly this is a really important conversation. I kind of hope that we get to talk about it again and again and again, because it really does matter. And there's a lot of nuance to it and a lot of different angles. So we can't just be overly prescriptive and say like, well, it has to be like this. But I think, you know, we already own the fact that we put an emphasis on marriage. And here's the deal. Like, let's just start with the facts. Both singleness and marriage, both of them, right? From a biblical point of view, when you look at what the writers of the Bible had to say, they're both highly esteemed in the Bible. And so it's like we shouldn't lift one up above the other. We should say that no matter where you're called, no matter what your life looks like, right, those are both things that God would say, that's a good gift to you. In the way that he's called you to live.
Yeah, and I think that when we are thinking about these things, like we talked about, so often we put things through our lens, through our perspective, through our stories. And so many people in ministry come from, you know, being married, have a family life. And so like when I teach, I tell a lot of stories about my family life. It just naturally comes out from that. But I think we can forget, you know, when we have so much coming from just one perspective and point of view, how to include everybody in that conversation. And we have to be really, really careful in that and recognize that ultimately our identity as followers of Jesus should come from him and what he says about us and his love for us, and that we'll never find that in another person. And so whether we're single or we're married, if we're trying to have one, you know, the whole Jerry Maguire, you complete me, you know, if we buy into that, we're going to be disappointed, whatever our relational status happens to currently be.
Yeah. It's like, not like getting married is not an answer to your problems, or being single is not the answer to your problems. It's like marriage isn't a problem, and being single is not a problem, and neither one of those will fix the deepest needs of the human heart, right? Like, so we look for meaning, we look for identity in those things, and it's problematic for us. Marriage is not easy. It is not easy. I've been married for 20 years and it's tough. It's worth it for us. We love it. We wouldn't change a thing, but it certainly hasn't made life easy at every turn. And so, you know, I think you're right, Matt. We don't want to elevate one and denigrate the other, because when we do that, we lose perspective. We lose perspective on what the Bible says. Like in Genesis 1 and 2, God creates male and female, and he creates this covenant of marriage, this relationship of commitment that really has him at the center of it. And then you see Paul in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talk about the fact that he wishes everyone could be like he is, because it's really a gift for him to be single. Like, he's totally available to God. And I think Paul was fine. Like, he was, when he talked about that, he was content with his walk with Jesus and what God had called him to in this world. And so, yeah, we've got to hold those things kind of like for what they are. They're good gifts of God, whatever God's given us and whatever he's called us to, but we have to keep them in proper perspective. And I think it's really important to say this. Like, if we got several questions around this problem, then it's something that the church really needs to think about, not just us, but the church as a whole. Mm-hmm. Like, 1 in 3 people in our city are single.
Oh my gosh. Wait, that's true, because there's 3 of us and I'm single.
Whoa.
Brendan wow. shook his head.
Brendan's amazed. So like, he's just right amazed now. By that statistic.
Brendan,
like,
Brendan, I gotta just say something. Brendan is shopping on Amazon right now. He's buying a hacksaw. Okay? I can see his car. I'm not making this up. He is not interested in this conversation at all. And my feelings are hurt. My feelings are hurt. He knows that we're recording and it sounds good, but Brendan, man. Okay.
What do you think he's building? Right?
I don't know.
That's not a little concerned about.
Well, and even too, like, I think as a single person, I've definitely gotten comments in church about, like, you know, like, oh, like, you're so sweet. Like, you should be with someone. Or like, when do you think you're going to have kids? Like, it's sort of an assumption around that. And I think sometimes that can be frustrating. But then I know too, like, my friends who are married and have kids, you get comments like that no matter what it is. Like, you get comments about, like, the person you're marrying, or like when you become a mom, people say passive, like, oh, is your baby cold? Like, maybe you should, like, you're always gonna receive, no matter what your life looks like, there's mm-hmm. always gonna be someone who is gonna find the thing that just makes you like, that wasn't very that didn't make me feel great. So I think it's definitely like a single issue, but it also just, I mean, it's the human condition. If you feel insecure about something, you're gonna project that onto you know, other people, which is unfortunate, and church should be better at it. But I mean, church is just people.
Church is people. Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say that I think there is a good opportunity, though, in this for us to rethink some of our models at church. So many of our models are based on the past, when people were getting married at a younger age, when people were starting families at a younger age. That's just not the case right now, both inside and outside the church. People are waiting longer to get married. They're waiting longer to have kids if they choose to have kids or choose to get married. And so I do think our churches need to think about, how are we, you know, built? And are we thinking about, when we think about community, are we thinking about communities that aren't just for married people or for single people, but are blended in that? We think about how we serve together. Are we being, you know, inclusive of people regardless of those various stages of their family life?
Yeah.
Yeah, and just to see them as people. I mean, I think that's the thing, is like, we see people and we size them up, and we often feel like what you were saying, I felt like it was loaded with, people are saying, I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not enough. And I think what all of us want in this world, and I think it's kind of being an image bearer and what God does in Christian community uniquely, as this happens in the right ways, is like, we just want to be seen, right? It's like, we just want people to know us and to care about us, and not, it's like, you and this, or you with this, then it would be okay. And so it's a real problem. It's a real problem when you come to church. And if you submitted this question, I just want to say, you know, for the ways that I can own it, I'm really sorry that you feel this way and carry this, and we want to be better. I think we want to be better. We want to reflect our community in every way here in Bellevue, which means that we want to be people from all over the world at Westminster Chapel, excuse me, and then we also really want to create space where there's community, regardless of whether you're married, whether you're single, you know, those things, we come together around this message of Jesus, and then we take together this message of Jesus to our world. You were talking about how we used to separate them out, and I was having flashbacks of, there was Single Point and Single Spirit at my church. I went to this really, really huge church in the Detroit area, and they had a ministry for everything, and we would just go get donuts. Like, we would steal donuts, and the single ministries always had the best donuts. But it was, they were their own thing, their own room, their own, even, you know, demographic within, you know, there was like a people who were 40 or over, or people who were under 40, and there were like hundreds of people in this room, but they weren't a part of the greater community, and they weren't really integrated. And so I would say, yeah, that we need to rethink that, and hope that people from different generations and different places in life could really come together around Jesus meaningfully.
Love that. Oh, well, as we wrap up, any final I'm sorry, I was listening, but like I had that thought pop in my head where like Christian pickup lines, have you ever read? They're like the worst things that have ever been invented. It's like worse than dad jokes, but the one that popped in my head was like, I went through the Book of Numbers and I didn't find yours.
Ryan, what line did you use to get Liz? Did you have one?
I didn't have a line.
You want to share?
I just looked at her and it was over. I was like, hey.
Ring by spring.
How's it going?
Counting down the days. All right. Well, I think this has been a great
conversation. Send us your questions or your Christian pickup lines, and we would like to read some of those.
Yeah.
Too. We'll share them with anybody who wants them. I don't know.
We'll post some on Instagram.
There you go. Great. There you go.
Asking for questions. A friend. Yeah. AFF@westminster.org, or you can go to our website. Thank you so much, guys. And I just love this time.
Join
it's
us
so
next
fun.
Time, and maybe we'll be able to tell you what Brendan's doing with his hacksaw.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Asking for a Friend with Westminster Chapel. If you or your friend would like to share a question, email us at aff@westminster.org.